please be seated. Get this up to my height. Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings. How great it is to be at our Savior Episcopal Church this morning, to be with you. I want to first acknowledge, you have a wonderful rector, don't you?
Yes.
You can do that. Thank you for listening to your rector. You know, I really have just met Joe Gibbs, but I also know that he has carried a lot of weight on behalf of not only you, but the people of the Diocese of Florida for a number of years in his service as president of the Standing Committee. I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and your service. We really are grateful. It is not easy work, and so, again, God bless. You have other clergy here, Deacon Beth. Let's acknowledge you here. So who's in church? Who's being confirmed this morning? Hands up. Great, excellent. What a great group. And who's being received? Great, we got those two distinctions, right? Confirmed, if you've not been confirmed, received, if you were confirmed when you were younger and were in another church. And who's reaffirming? Excellent, I love reaffirmation. You know what reaffirmation is? So reaffirmation is something that's in the Book of Common Prayer. If you've been confirmed, been received before, but something's going on in your life and God's moving in a wondrous way, and you feel you want to do something about that, you seek reaffirmation. And it's just to say, again, I recommit myself to those baptismal promises, my confirmation promises, and so good for you, good for you. God's never done with us, ever. And anyone visiting? Visiting our Savior this morning, I keep wanting to say, welcome, we're so glad you're here. How great, here with the confirmand? Okay, great. It is a vibrant and wonderful church. I keep wanting to say our merciful Savior, because I was the bishop of the Diocese of New Jersey for 10 years, and we had our merciful Savior in Pennsville, and that stuff gets drilled into you, you know? So, for
great church.
Yeah, sadly it closed, but at any rate, forgive me if I do that, but I'm really trying to hold my own here. So this is a vibrant and wonderful church. I did my homework before I came, and you all have a lot going on, both to support and love one another and living out your lives in Christ, and also reaching beyond yourselves to the wider communion in love to carry out Christ's mission of reconciliation in the world. So good for you. God bless you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Where's the vestry? I'm going to ask the vestry members who are here to stand and be acknowledged. The senior warden, vestry members, there we go. There's one. Another. Come on, don't be shy. There are a couple of the others came to the earlier service problem. But let's acknowledge them. It is not easy running a parish church in the best of times. And these have not been the best of times. And people who have served on the vestry know, and those who currently serve, how much work it is. You know, so many people take the church for granted, year in and year. You know, people in the community, we'll go there on Christmas, and it'll be open, and everything will be ready to go. That takes a lot of work. And those who serve on vestry are the ones that really do that work. And also, of course, the volunteers who do so much of the mission and ministry of the church. So God bless you all. Thank you for that. I did notice that you got lots of Bible studies. How many of you participated in Bible studies here? A good number. So I am the good shepherd, Jesus says in today's gospel reading from John. Do you know what chapter that's in, by the way? No clergy allowed to speak. John 10, and you gave me the verses, but I just wanted a chapter, but thank you. Give her a hand, yay. And what is the context? What's the context of John chapter 10? When Jesus says that. Someone's looking it up. I'm going to tell you before you get there. The context is that Jesus is in a controversy with some Pharisees who are challenging him after he had healed a man blind from birth. He's in a controversy with some Pharisees. And I always want to be careful when I say some Pharisees, because we've turned over history Pharisees into caricatures. And the Pharisees were faithful Jews of their time, and as with all faithful people, some would go overboard and get caught up in the minutiae, while others kept the larger picture. And we don't want to just lump them all together and say all Pharisees are bad. They were not. St. Paul was a Pharisee. He persecuted the church. He came to a different place. But there were also some wise people among the Pharisees, and rabbinic Judaism today is an inheritance of that. So I just want to be clear about that. But these Pharisees in this particular section of John's Gospel are challenging Jesus. Knowing this helps us understand the contrast that he is making between himself as the good shepherd and those with whom he is disputing, those Pharisees who, at least to the writer of the fourth gospel, are the bad shepherds and the hired hands. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says in today's gospel reading. I know my own, and my own know me. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Pharisees in the background of this scene are threatened by Jesus' authority and power. Power which he uses almost exclusively for the suffering, for those on the edges, like the man born blind to whom he gave his sight. But those Pharisees can't see it. Actually, they're the ones who are blind. They can't see it. They're the ones who are blind. Blind to what God is up to in and through Jesus. They don't get it. They just don't get it, despite the evidence in front of their eyes. And John really loves those contrasts. Years ago, my wife Susan, who wasn't able to be here this morning, she was feeling a little under the weather, but my wife Susan and I led a group on pilgrimage to the holy island of Lindisfarne in Scotland. Anyone been there? Amazing place. Amazing place. The veil between heaven and earth is very thin. It's a tidal island off the northeast coast of England. Was once the center of Celtic Christianity, overseen by St. Aidan, one of the great saints of the Celtic Church. Stunning place. And it's a simple, quiet place. And you do, in fact, see sheep grazing, local sheep. We didn't see a lot of shepherds there, at least that we didn't recognize them as such during our trip. But as we walked along, we were along a little hill. And not too far from us, there was a farm. And inside, there was a grassy area surrounded by a stone wall, perhaps 4 feet high. And inside the grass, and inside the wall, were four young sheep and what was clearly the mother ewe. Outside of the stone wall, however, was a young sheep who somehow had managed to get outside the wall. And as we watched, this young sheep was desperately trying to get back in, get back to the group. It kept running up to the wall and backing up, and running up and backing up. It couldn't find the entrance, even though it was only a few feet away. It darted a few yards in one direction along the wall, couldn't find the opening, bleeding to its mother, looking for assistance, I guess, but to no avail. Mother was busy with the others and seemed to be saying, "You got yourself into that fix. Find your way out." Now, I'm a city kid. I grew up in New York City. I don't know a whole lot about sheep and shepherds. There is a sheep's meadow in Central Park. But there haven't been sheep on that meadow since the 1800s. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I've been told that sheep are dumb. I have. And watching that poor little sheep running back and forth, 10, 15 yards in one direction or the other, turning into the fence, running up to it, bleeding, trying to get through it when the entrance is only a few more yards away, seemed to affirm the conclusion. I found myself urging it on. "Come on, just a little further, go. Can't you see it? Can't you see the opening? And how'd you get yourself in that position in the first place?" I didn't stick around long enough to see how it all ended, but I'm confident that that sheep kept walking up to that wall and stopping until the shepherd came out and said, "Hey, dummy, over here." Or even went out and got him. "Shoot him. to the other side of the wall, back into the fold with the others. Got him back to safety and the company of the others. Got it back to its mother. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He's clearly inferring that his followers are sheep and that he's the shepherd. That's true for his disciples then and true for his disciples today. And truth be told, this doesn't seem to reflect very favorably on us. I'm just saying. If we're honest, the comparison seems fair, however. Sometimes, too many times, human beings are just plain dumb. We are just dumb. Like that sheep in Lindisfarne, we often find ourselves running up against the stone wall over and over again, repeating patterns of behavior in our lives that just don't work. These might be patterns in relationships, husband and wife, mother and daughter, father and son. They might be patterns of conflict where each party tries the same methods of argument and ugliness that never solve anything. We all know it, right? Never solves anything. But we repeat the patterns over and over and over again, hurting one another, alienating those we should love from one another. They might be patterns of addiction. Alcohol, drugs, sex, I could go on and on, but the point is the comparison between sheep and us is not unfair. That being said, the focus of today's gospel reading is actually not the sheep. It's the shepherd. It's on Jesus, the good shepherd. It's on the authenticity of the good shepherd as one who has concern and compassion for his sheep, who loves them and calls them to love like he does. You know, a lot of people put their faith today in things and people that are unreliable. If you put your faith in the dollar, it's unreliable. If you put your faith in the stock market, it's unreliable. If you put your faith in politicians and parties, they are unreliable. But faith in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that's faith well placed. It's reliable, rock solid. There's such a cacophony of noise and people calling out to us today, trying to seduce us into all kinds of things, from an obsession with materialism, having things and stuff, to fueling hate-filled feelings about other people because of the color of their skin or their political affiliations or their social caste or class. None of this comes from Jesus, the Good Shepherd. None of it. Jesus is the merciful Savior and Shepherd who has an intimate connection with the Father. He knows the Father and the Father knows him. He is in the Father and the Father is in him. It's as Paul's letter to the Colossians declares without equivocation, Jesus is the very image of God. When we hear the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we are hearing the voice of God. And as intimate as this shepherd's relationship is with the Father, here's something really important. It's equally intimate with us. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you, and you are in me. John's Gospel. It is all grounded in love, deep and abiding love, sacrificial love. Today's reading from the first letter of John underscores this when it urges that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. If you believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, if we believe in that name, we are compelled to love. That's a fact. We are compelled to love. And also when that verse assures us all who, when that section of John 1 John affirms, all who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. You know, love is a gift and a grace from God. We've been told a lie about love in this culture. We've been told that love is some kind of feeling you sort of catch. It's in the air, right? You fall into, right? I'm going to fall in love. I had nothing to do with it. Love is a gift and a grace of God. Love is a gift and a grace of God. Love is also what God does, right? I mean, it says again in 1 John, God is love. That's the nature and essence of God. God is love. It also says in John's gospel, God loves. God so loved the world that he sent his only son to the end that all believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've seen that verse, right? John chapter 3:16, you've seen it behind every goalpost, right? That's it, that's what it says. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, called that verse the gospel in miniature. Isn't that good? The gospel, man, you know, if you don't know anything, if someone asks you what's the Christian gospel, you could do worse than saying God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse is just as important. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that all that believe in him may have life in him. Right? At any rate, love is a gift and a grace of God, and love is the action of God. But love is also the gift and grace given to us that we have to be stewards of, that we need to tend to. The wonderful 14th century English mystic Richard Rolla said it well. Loyal and true love operates in this way as an act of human will. We have to will to love. It's not something you catch. You have to will to love, and especially when you are in unloving situations with sometimes unlovable people. Love is an act of will. When we find ourselves in the midst of controversy, struggling with one another, disagreeing, if we will just listen for the Good Shepherd's call to each of us, recognize that he has deep compassion and love for all of us, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Latina, liberal, conservative, young, old, skinny, fat, short, tall, straight, gay, Republican, Democrat, we'll discover something. Something powerful and wonderful. We are all part of one flock with one shepherd, one good and loving shepherd, Jesus. He has brought us all in. No ifs or buts about it. He's brought us into the fold in love, for love. He has brought us in so that we can stop running up against stone walls, and he has commanded us to love. Commanded us. Sometimes we need to be commanded to love. My wife and I have been married 48 years. I can tell you, sometimes the commandment to love is essential. Right? And I'm talking about it. Right. The Holy Spirit has moved in the lives of those who are being confirmed and received today. Hasn't it? It stirred you to do something. You wanted to become somehow more engaged, more connected here. It's about the Good Shepherd. And you're listening. The Spirit at work. But note, every single one of us is being invited to renew our baptismal promises this morning to stir up the gift of God within us, as it says in 2 Timothy. These promises not only affirm our faith and trust in God, they also provide the framework for us to live and love like Jesus as we continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in the prayers, as we persevere in resisting evil and whenever we fall into sin, it doesn't say if we fall into sin, whenever we fall into sin to repent and return to the Lord, as we proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, as we seek and serve Christ in all persons. That's what the baptismal promise says. It says all persons. It doesn't say those who look like me. In my same socioeconomic circumstances. It says all persons, and similarly, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Are you hearing that language? These promises provide us with a way of living out this faith in the midst of the ever-challenging world in which we live. They are a means by which we can keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, listening, always listening to his voice calling us, each one of us by name, commanding us to love him and love others in return, to find the way in instead of running up against the wall. And this is commandment, that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them, abiding in Jesus. Jesus abiding in us. What more could we ask for on this Good Shepherd Sunday at our our Savior, Episcopal Church.